Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings, welcome in. It's the second half. Disco ball is down, still twirling about. The band has left the field. They're still playing as they walk off. Mike Harmon alongside LeVar Arrington, the All-American, All-Mammal team, all of those things. WarriorWoke.com, at King of the Mammals on Instagram, where you find him.
Very nice.
My guy, FS1, speak for yourself. He's getting lean and mean, like he's getting ready to run through a wall. It's like going back to the playing days here.
I definitely feel like I can run through a wall right now.
The road to Swole is real.
Yeah, it is.
Well, we're ready for the NBA Finals, buddy. We're here in Los Angeles, and the excitement is palpable. It's been a pretty crazy week. We've still got people taking their shots, or at least acknowledging the fact that the LA Clippers fired Doc Rivers. More long-form stories flowing out of that. Magic Johnson, you know, we celebrate when Magic tweets, quote, "I can't believe the LA Clippers fired Doc Rivers and basically blamed him for getting bounced out of the playoffs by the Denver Nuggets." Now, when they were eliminated, he took great pleasure saying same old Clippers. So, you didn't help Magic. You didn't. But part of the reason Doc gets fired, 7 years in, and down the corridor there at Staples, well, the Lakers are still playing basketball, right? Let's call it what it is. You brought in the big guns thinking you were going to get over. You were going to take advantage of this downtime for the Lakers. You had Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. That didn't work. You rebuilt it bigger, faster, stronger. You bring in Kawhi. You bring in Paul George.
That didn't work.
And you thought it was going to work. You had multiple sixth men of the year. I mean, they were lining up. Lou Williams disappeared.
You thought you knew who were they. Wait.
You going Danny
You
Green?
Thought you knew who they were.
Yeah, you were going Danny.
You want to crown them? Crown them.
And that's what we're looking to see. Oh, there it is.
How are you going to try to make a sound bite and you mess it up? I thought they were.
All right, two,
right.
One.
I blanked out on it. Yep. I'm not going to try it.
You want me to get that squirrel running back on the treadmill there? What? Anyway, the point is, Doc Rivers is out.
I have my moments Rivers and
do.
Paul George and Kawhi Leonard and, well, basically all of the L.A. Clippers. I just had an L.A. Clipper moment.
That's it.
I was supposed to deliver, and I didn't.
Nicely done.
There
that
you
is
go.
Well played. But they were eliminated. Doc Rivers is out. So
that's kind of crazy, though. In a pandemic season, you mutually agree to move on from one another,
well,
which we all know.
There's no mutual about that.
We
Come
all
on,
know man. That it's not mutual, even though it's mutual.
It's time for you to go. Yeah.
It's okay. Mutual so that you can go get another job because we don't have to say we fired you.
Well, you still have openings out there and whoever comes in next.
And apparently he must have known that he has a good opportunity to get another gig. I don't know what his contract consists of.
Oh, yeah, they still owe him like $10 million.
Even with that mutually parting ways? Okay. That's what I was about to try to understand.
No. He's still going to get paid.
Well, there you go.
And it's Steve Ballmer. He's going to shake that out of the cushion in the couch. But
well, I'm sure that something happens if he gets picked up by another team.
No,
right?
Sure. Like,
I'm sure
there's some of that that comes into play. But,
right.
You know, this was the team that was supposed to be built and ready to compete. The streetlights instead of spotlights. And we saw it. I mean, you drive around Los Angeles. You've seen all the billboards. You've seen the ad campaigns. Mm-hmm. And then what's interesting, and you could speak to this from the years in the locker room and, you know, we'll make
I
sure.
I can't speak to being in a winning locker room.
But that's my point. Oh. Neither can they.
Oh. I saw what you did.
So I'm going to keep my hand near that
up.
Dump button.
That's kind of
no,
messed up.
No, look, it's no disrespect. Winning in college, right? You had success with Joe Pa and company.
We never won it, though.
Didn't win it.
We were never even in contention to win it.
But then we have, with the Clippers, the expectations were huge, right? If you went through media picks before the season, regular season before the bubble, all of these things was they'll get it together. They've got enough talent. They're the deepest team. All of these were the bullet points that roll through. And they're the bullet points that every Lakers fan likes to chime in and laugh about, because when you compared benches on paper, it looked pretty, right? Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell, all these guys that could come in and impact a game. For the Lakers, it was, I don't know, Kyle Kuzma. He was supposed to be the chosen one to steal the old Star Wars line. It's either that or unlimited power, but we'll get into that later. But it was the idea that, you know, Avery Bradley opts out. Kyle Kuzma appears and disappears. Danny Green, who's the third guy? Dwight Howard has played like a man possessed. But his emotions sometimes get the better of him. He might get himself bounced from a game before it's all said and done. But he's come to play and turn back the clock at least for a minute. So when you do those apples to apples and you start hearing, hey, there was no chemistry and guys weren't talking and all of these kind of things that are flowing out, you got to have a fall guy, right? It always comes back to that old line of someone's got to pay. You can't fire the whole team. You can fire some administrative guys, I guess, but the coach is usually the guy to fall. And Doc had been there for 7 years. For all the messaging and all the positivity of he kept the guys in the bubble, kept them engaged, right, for the strike. They keep calling it a boycott. No, it was a strike for a couple of days, interrupting the play before they got back onto the court, that he was a guy that people were seeking counsel from. And that's great. But that doesn't help solve whatever issues were going on with the Clippers team. As we saw in the exit interviews, everybody now telling tales out of school. That's where I was trying to go.
When you come up short and you're supposed to come up the long way, there's going to be answers that have to come from why you weren't able to do it. And that's always going to remain true. You know, for what it's worth, we always have so many different things to say about, you know, these super teams when KG and Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and all those guys, you know, banded together to come to Boston and win a championship, or LeBron going to Miami with Bosh and with D-Wade and all those guys. You just better win. Just win. You know, Rip and all those guys, Tayshaun and all those guys in Detroit, you got to win. If you're going to do the whole super team thing, you know, KD goes to Golden State, you got to win.
Well, that's it, right? And
so
and it's a now business, and that, especially when you're
in year 7.
It's an
easy conversation to downplay or diminish when guys go be with one another and they win championships. It's like, oh, you shouldn't have did that. You should have stayed where you were at, da-da-da. But then you realize when you see people come up, teams come up short with that type of firepower from coaching staff on down and they can't complete it, then you start to realize, like, maybe there is still something to it in terms of still being able to put it all together and win. And that's what we saw take place with this Clippers team.
Ready? This is ESPN. Ramona Shelburne on this one. Rivers retraced and analyzed what went wrong with Ballmer. The issues he focused on. His plan for next season involved staffing changes, schematic adjustments, and improved chemistry from another year of playing together. He also believed they needed a true point guard to help organize their offense. For Ballmer, the questions were different. Why was there a lack of leadership? Why was the chemistry lacking? And why were the players so unenthusiastic about playing in the bubble?
I mean, it could have been. Listen, I don't know, you know, what the stories and how the stories unfold about Paul George and all these different things, but be clear, you were in a bubble. You were away from your families. You were being quarantined in a way where your ability to maintain mental and emotional stability within the confines of that bubble, you've got a written advantage over others. But for those who don't, here's why I have a problem with how we're kind of viewing the whole Paul George thing and the Clippers thing in some regards. Is Paul George was telling you I am dealing with some mental health issues being here right now. For some strange reason, it's funny because you always mention my program, Warrior Woke. So let me tell you what Warrior Woke represents. When you're talking about a mindset and an understanding of and your arc of performance, there's an arc of performance. Within the arc of performance, you have inception. Inception is when they went into the bubble. They're there. You're excited about getting back to basketball. Maybe not so much, but you're here. You want to try to make this thing work. You push through it. As time continues on, you find yourself in a place of deception. That's the next phase. Deception. And in that moment of deception, either you are going to find that internal fortitude to be able to mentally and emotionally calibrate with what your physical abilities are in order to continue to get consistent results. That's pushing through the deception phase of your arc of performance. What comes next is your transformation. Within the transformation, now you're thriving. Now I'm like, I got my game going. I feel good about my therapeutic sessions where I'm getting my ice done, where I'm reading books, where I'm talking on FaceTime to my family. I'm motivated. I'm inspired. I'm aspiring to be more than what I am. And then that transitions into the last, which is the hardest place to get to, is identity. And what you saw from LeBron James, what you're seeing from this Lakers team, what you saw in Butler and Hero and those guys in Miami was a transitional stage to identity. And that's going to be a problem for the Lakers to deal with, because these are two identity teams. They have established identity. Paul George told you he could not make it out of the stage of deception. And there might have been other guys on that team that were right there with him in their stage, in their arc of performance. They never made it out. There's two more phases. There's two more stages that come after deception, and they never made it out. You got to be able to address those things.
But that's the coach.
You got to be
the
coach.
That's the leader in the locker room, which says from Ballmer's questions, who's the leader and how could you not get it done? Because again, Doc was able to get other guys on board. Hey, this is your mission while you're here to stay and use your platform and speak as you need to try to help better society. And they stayed and they played. And guys might not have been
pulled on in. What about helping and bettering you? What about helping and bettering you? What about your mentor? You know, it's so crazy to me that it's like if Paul George would have said my elbow on my shooting arm is suffering right now and I really am feeling off about my elbow, they'd have every type of electrode, the cupping and all kinds of grasping, all that grasping, all these different. I mean, come on, there'd be all kinds of different ways they would try to treat the man. But the man tells you that I'm dealing with some mental health issues here right now. Now, based upon being in this bubble for as long as we've been in these regulations and rules, and nobody helped. Everybody's just listening. What do you want to do? You want to talk about it like it's a problem? These guys are dealing with being in this bubble to make this season work so that they can play, and somebody comes out and actually is bold enough and brave enough to say what they're feeling and what they're dealing with, and that is no different than you breaking a limb. It's no different than you stubbing and, you know, spraining a finger or spraining an ankle, but we don't approach it that way. And then you sit there and you see his play dramatically fall off. It dramatically fell off.
One or two blips where he seemed to rectify things for a moment and find a moment of clarity and peace. And then he would go right back into
the shooting.
You
got Lou going to get lemon pepper wings.
Yeah, he
did. In the spot.
They're supposed to be the best wings, though.
He needed to hit that reset button. There were guys in there, and apparently more so with this LA Clippers team, that were dealing with issues that weren't being rectified or being resolved or addressed, and you seeing them acting out. Lou Williams is acting out. Paul George can't perform. The team, those are two of your leaders right there.
Right. So the idea is you got to bring it back together and figure out, does this work, does it not? I always say you go from A to B coach and B to C. Doc's been there for 7 years. You brought in the superstars, and it fizzled out as it does every year. So would you give him another year? What's the definition of insanity, LeVar?
Doing the same things over and over again, thinking you're going to get a different result.
Right? I think that's kind of the point we were hitting.
Well, here's the thing, though. Is it worse for him to lose to the Lakers? Would it have been better for him to make it to the Lakers?
But if they'd gone another round, at least, you've at least shown progress over where you've been before. Now, do you lose to LeBron James? I would say the argument is there's no shame in losing to a team he leads.
You know what? Might
have been the same result of him getting fired, but you could at least say you made progress.
I am tremendously interested to watch this series, and for this reason alone.
And we are going to pause right there. Okay. That is what you call a tease in the radio business, people. Because both teams, as you said, they've reached their identity. We know who they are and what they're bringing to the table.
There you go.
How's the series going to play out? LeVar Arrington, I'm Mike Harmon from the Geico Studios. We are going to tell you all about it next here on Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Greetings. Welcome back in Fox Sports Radio, the Geico Studios. Mike Harmon alongside LeVar Arrington, the All-American. And yes, the return of the Mac. They'll be back on the field soon enough. Only a couple of weeks until Big Ten football returns.
That's right.
I keep getting all the little updates from Coach Fitzgerald and the Northwestern Wildcats, and I tell you, it gets me fired up, ready to run through some walls. 25th anniversary of the run to the Rose Bowl, so they've been commemorating that all the way through, some of the great moments, getting some of the principals from that team to talk about stuff, and we've all aged just beautifully. There's no question about it. But who also has aged beautifully?
Year for Northwestern by the year.
Yeah, that was right after
the
I graduated.
Trees,
yeah, all those games I traveled out to Happy Valley.
Ooh, Dave. That was a great
year. Dave
was
my guy.
That was a great year.
I used to have
year.
To wake his ass
you
up to make
me.
Sure he went to class.
That's crazy.
Well, I mean, they wanted to make sure guys were doing their thing. And look, he was a great student. Like, he asked a lot of crazy questions. You see the professor be like, all right, now – let's go kind of thing. Yeah. But no, great group of guys. And obviously there were some scandals. I always thought the 94 team might have actually been better. But we obviously had the point shaving scandal. And we'll leave that where it is. The run to the Rose Bowl. And then the following year playing Peyton Manning and Peerless Price in the Citrus Bowl down in Florida. They played pitch and catch. Much like USC did with Keyshawn Johnson running amok in the Rose Bowl. But you know what? We made it.
You made
it. For all those years of going on the road.
I never played in a Rose Bowl.
But all those years of going on the road and watching my team get whacked 62-3.
But I never made it. I could never. We've been rated number one. I was ranked on a number one ranked team at least twice in two different years. So not ranked twice in one year. In consecutive years. Not consecutive. My freshman year, we were ranked number one at one point, I believe. And then my junior year, we were ranked number one.
I was going to say, you weren't there senior year, man. You were gone.
Yeah, I dropped out. I shouldn't have. I need to get my degree.
You and I will be talking about that because I'm going to force you. I'll sit there with you.
Okay.
I'll work on becoming Dr. Harmon.
All right.
And we'll get you finished.
Yeesh. Time.
Hey.
Time.
But that's just it, right? You got the kids.
On my side.
No, it is. You're still a young
not
man.
Not for
and
a
you're
degree.
Lean and mean.
Not for a degree.
Buddy.
Time.
Buddy, you can get a degree sitting around in your house in your underwear these days.
You know the problem with me, and you've been around me enough to know this.
Yeah.
Is I'm a perfectionist.
I know. So let's go perfect it. And
yeah,
finish
but
it.
I would not sit around in my Wonderoos with my Fruity Pebbles in a big old
the Jethro bowl of Fruity Pebbles sitting
trying
there.
To do school.
There you go. There's my old school reference of the night.
Jethro bowl. Yeah, with the wooden spoon.
That's right.
Come on, man.
How you like
and
that?
And I was lactose intolerant.
Oh,
didn't even
no.
know it. So it hurt so bad. It tasted so good going
feel
down.
Sick.
And then I felt sick.
It tastes so good
I
when
felt
it hits
so
lips.
Bad after I. It's just the way it touched your lips, like, so good.
Either way, we're going to figure that out as we celebrate some of the music of the past here
they
on
got
the show.
Tone and Loke on the
no,
joint.
That's right.
And they're back there jamming behind the window.
No, the guys are fired up.
They have it fired up listening to that versus listening to us.
It's
and
a beautiful
I am so
thing.
Jealous because I want to like take my headphones off and go on the side and jam the Tone Loke with y'all.
Here you go.
Thing.
I'll go political.
Wow, thing.
And I'll filibuster for a minute. No, the transition, obviously, age is just a number.
Oh,
as we're seeing here in the NBA, LeBron James.
Yeah.
Look, Father Time ain't got him yet.
It hasn't got
every
hold
once
of
in a
him.
While, it looks like he got him by the ankles for a second,
and then he
shakes
free.
Kind of like Allen Robinson on that Nick Foles touchdown pass the other day. Should have been a 12-yard gain. Instead, it's a 37-yard touchdown. Same thing here.
Can I just revisit Tone Loke for 1 second here? Can I just do this, please?
Go ahead, buddy. Yeah, there you go.
Can you imagine, this is what, the 80s when Tone Loke came out with this song?
1989, I believe. When he had Loke, the wiggle women like it
realize,
was Robert Palmer, Addicted to Love.
You do realize that he became a household name with an all-white band group of women.
No, but that's just it. He did the Robert Palmer thing.
Hold on. Let me finish this.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
With his black DJ. And a gangbanger, like a gangbanger handle. Like, do y'all understand? He infiltrated your homes as a Loke.
Loked after.
This is like one of the biggest songs ever of all time.
Loked
still.
After Dark. 2 times platinum back in 1989, released on January the 23rd.
Hey.
Label was Delicious Vinyl.
The only person that probably outdid Tone Loke, like Loke Loked out, is Snoop. We love Snoop, and Snoop is a Loke.
So it's the first the single best. Was Wild Thing.
I had to get that off my chest.
Right?
Man. Yes.
All sorts of number one, number two on the charts. 2 times platinum, went gold in Australia.
Oh, awesome.
And then you also had, from that album, I Got It Going, on and on.
I don't even care about the other
songs. And then you had the Funky Cole Medina.
Funky Cole Medina was tough. I was with Funky Cole Medina, but Wild Thing is the one. Wild Thing is the one. He's probably
still making money. And it sends everybody all
money.
Crazy whenever that gets played. I've seen people do it at karaoke, and the floor is empty, or folks are just standing with a drink.
That's the key.
Hook starts, boom!
When you have a little bit of oil in your system,
yeah,
you hit all gas, no brakes, when you hear Wild Thing come on, even in 2020.
He has been a voice actor. You've heard him in many, many cartoons. Remember, he was in Ace Ventura.
He was in Bebe's Kids.
Yes, he was.
And some of y'all may not even know what Bebe's Kids
is. If you don't, go find Bebe's Kids.
Never heard of him.
No. This is the beautiful thing. And I've watched this on Netflix. A lot of shows that were on.
Robin Harris, baby.
But like the CW and, not on the big. Huge networks,
yes,
and found their way to Netflix, and they're like the number one trending because folks haven't seen these.
The
right?
Cartoon,
Girlfriends, Bebe's Kids,
yeah,
all of those things
right
starting to get a little bit of run.
Yeah,
but Bebe's Kids, if you can find that,
the cartoon is
there. You go, do yourself
funny.
A favor.
I think he was the baby with always had the flies flying around his diaper. I'm pretty certain he was the we don't die, we multiply.
He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Sports
Radio.
Blast
from the past.
The Jason
Tone
Smith
Loke.
Show.
Loke Tone.
With Mike Harmon getting after it here
Loked
on
out.
A Tuesday night.
Unbelievable.
We're going to break down the Lakers-Miami series.
We
two
just
teams
broke
with,
down Tone Loke.
And we got Tone Loke
that's
in as
LA.
Well.
We, that's LA.
That is
LA. So we're going to stay with it and break down the Lakers.
By the way, I want one of those DJ machines that I can hang around my neck and flip some switches and scratch the record.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
All right, LeVar Arrington alongside me. I'm Mike Harmon. And,
aloha!
Look, we got. Well, that is one of the things that Ralph Irvin does love to say.
Aloha.
Means hello and goodbye.
Yes.
I got a couple of tweets relative to the. To the debate, ready?
Okay.
These are two good ones.
Okay.
And they don't pick a side. They just are looking at the event overall.
Okay.
It gave us a great one-liner very early in the show.
Mm-hmm.
that we'll get to in a minute. But Gil Brandt.
Oh, Gil.
Hall of Famer.
Old head.
Quote, these guys are giving old people a bad name.
Yikes.
The first reply to it, it's just missing Jerry. And then the clown show Trinity would be completed. Mm. Oh, that's just mean. That's horrible. And then this
or
one.
Maybe
that was,
it was missing Curly.
Exactly. Yeah. I saw a guy in a Three Stooges shirt the other day.
Is that right?
Yeah. Pretty cool. Classic. One of my neighbors. All it was right. Good. Yeah. It used to be a.
Mo was very valiant, man.
Tell you what, man.
Very valiant, dude.
If you haven't seen it, or there's a couple of the movies
original,
about the
though.
Stooges.
Yeah.
And then there's some books on them.
Yeah.
There's some interesting history there. Okay. But this one comes from Hassan Whiteside. R.I. brought this to my attention a little bit earlier. Quote, I can't do this for 4 more years.
Hmm.
Blank America, bro. Ready? Ready?
Uh-oh, here we go.
I'm moving to Hawaii!
Aloha.
Aloha, Mr. Hand.
Just by the way, just for
in
those
in case you didn't know,
for those that may have missed him saying, "I can't take this for another 4. I'm moving away from America." Wait for it. Hawaii's American.
There you go.
Hawaii is a part of America, people.
Just so you know. And they also give us great...
Breaking news at 9:36 on the West Coast time!
We also obviously get...
We have just discovered that Hawaii is a part of America, people!
Connect the dots.
You did not escape for the next 4 years by moving to Hawaii, you!
No, and it's expensive...
Messed it up!
And it's expensive as hell, man. Come on. Do your research. Go for a vacation. You okay over there, buddy?
No. He tweeted it!
I know!
You tweeted it!
He eventually deleted it. But as we know, in the internet...
It's already been captured.
It lives forever. All right, so the Lakers and the Heat are ready to get it on.
Okay.
All right, Miami's beating the Bucks. They're beating the Celtics. I love the way this... Look, Jimmy Butler's one of my favorite players going back to coming into the league with the Bulls.
I love the whole development of his mustachio going on right now.
You got the mustachio.
It's turning into like a Zorro dip.
Yeah, I mean, you got that. You got the coffee shop where it's $20 a cup. Genius.
He loves dancing around drinking his coffee while he's going into the locker room.
Right, but showing... Love to it. His teammates, yeah. Right? Wearing the Tyler Hero high school
it.
Jersey.
He had it made.
All of those things.
I love it.
But it's the type of thing, and I always said it with the Bulls, I've said it with Philly and when he was in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
He don't want to play with babies. He wants to play with guys that want to play basketball
and they
and
know
are
it.
Willing to commit.
And they know it.
And this team, led by Spoelstra, who I don't know that he gets the nod that he deserves.
Well, I'm glad you brought him up because I think that he is the deciding factor. He is the X factor going into this series, is his experience, his understanding of the game, his familiarity with LeBron, and his impeccable ability to game plan in a way where it gets the most out of the players that he has.
You look at the arrival of
not
Duncan
to mention,
Robinson.
Not to mention, you're able to bounce all of this strategy and thoughts off of arguably one of the greatest basketball minds in the history of the game in Pat Riley.
Well, just think about it. All those years ago, if rumors, if we give them their substance and say, all right, this definitely happened, remember they wanted Pat Riley to come and coach, and they didn't want Spoelstra on the bench when the not two, not three, not four team was first assembled, right? When that super team happened. Instead, you got a guy who's now in year 12. He's been through the wars. He's seen the best, the worst, and the grind that it takes to get there, and he's got a team willing to do it. Mm-hmm. Right. You talk about old heads. You bring in Andre Iguodala, 6 straight final. Tyler Hero. The man has no conscience. His confidence is off. I wish you could bottle it. Right. Because there's not a shot he won't take, a play he won't throw himself into. And these guys throw their bodies around as well. Right. They'll grind on the defensive end. And so for that reason, look, Jason picked the Heat before the playoffs started. So. Because we need some rivalry. I had to make all the arguments for the Lakers. Mm. But selfishly, it's the Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo kind of love fest and you know, man crush thing going on. Lakers, it's LeBron and AD.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you get out of Dwight Howard? Look, if AD's not going to play at the boards like he did the last couple games in the prior series where we're looking for him to find a rebound in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. that does not bode well for their success against this Heat team. But the length is certainly there that to frustrate the hell out of him.
Well, that is the defining piece of the puzzle, in my humble estimation, going into this series, is the length has created so many issues for the teams that they're playing against. You know, you're talking about JaVale McGee. You're talking about, obviously, Dwight Howard making his appearance into what's going on. Anthony Davis can take you inside and outside. So not only is he a stretch long man like the big men we just mentioned, but he's able to take you outside of your comfort zone, even though you're supposed to be guarding him as a big. So it has worked in their fan. Oh, yeah, LeBron, too, by the way.
Well, that's the thing.
They are all tall.
But they haven't needed LeBron to go full-on score and go turbo LeBron. I always equate him to the Clyde Drexler move, mm-hmm. where he puts his head down, mm-hmm. almost like he's running through the B-gap. Trying to pick up a first down. And look, he creates contact. And then that becomes the gamesmanship of, are you going to get the foul calls? Foul calls start, you got a problem.
I believe that Udonis Haslam will have to have the best series that he's ever had since being a Miami Heat basketball player for this team to have a chance to win this championship round.
You got Udonis Haslam.
Did you like that?
That was really good.
Nice.
I have the Lakers in six. What do you say?
You know, when I look at it from a very critical eye going into this game, I really believe that the Miami Heat have a very, very good chance of winning this series. And I don't say that blindly. Again, I'm going to reframe what I just said a little earlier. I think Spoelstra's ability to game plan is phenomenal. You got to keep in mind, not only does he know him from playing against LeBron James, he knows LeBron.
How to game plan to make him most effective.
Understand this. Eric Spoelstra is the one who got LeBron James's career going. Go back into your history books. It was Eric Spoelstra that coached that Miami Heat team that won those championship games with LeBron James. So not to say that that's going to, you know, obviously create some magic kryptonite that can keep LeBron James from being LeBron James, because I think we realize that you're not going to stop him if he decides he wants to do it. But what we do know about LeBron James, historically speaking, is he is more than willing to defer taking over a game. Now, he has shown some aggression in trying to close out games in the last couple games, but it's not a given that LeBron will maintain that aggressive approach in his going into this championship round. I believe that this Miami team, they hustle very hard. They have been shooting well enough. They have this grit about them that I believe can really irritate and agitate the Lakers. So going into this series, if Miami can get into a rhythm early on and can disrupt the Lakers enough where they can't get in a rhythm and allow them to get in their half-court sets, don't allow them to set up.
Well, but that's the thing.
You're going to have to run
them. I can't wait
to
see defensively how Miami sets up.
You're going to have to run
them. They frustrated the hell out of the Celtics, shifting into the zone and saying, all right, try to break this, and they got out of sorts.
I think it's a very comparable group in that Boston Celtics team. Not as much talent in terms of proven talent, but great enough talent to say that sample size that you saw there could lead to them being able to have good success against the Lakers.
Beautiful things. You also mentioned the key word kryptonite. We get into that coming up in about 15 minutes, but I got a good thing about a parrot coming up next. You're going to love this.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We're back. Cackling like a madman, my guy.
Oh, my God.
All American.
You are the best.
All mammal, LeVar Arrington.
Everybody in the club getting twisted.
I told you, you like my team. Here's our team. This is great. Alex Deischer, Ryan Bershinger.
I only got one hit, only one. I only got one hit, only one. I'm going to just keep repeating that one. I only got one hit, only one.
You know what, though? But if the base is deep enough and it's got something that people just start swaying their ass to, you've won.
Oh, my gosh. That right? is the best ever.
And it lives forever and ever. All right, here we go. This is a story. We're going to step out of sports for a minute because everybody needs a laugh, right?
All right.
World needs a laugh.
Yes.
We all need a hug and take a pause.
Yes.
Wherever you are, thanks for being part of our extended family.
Okay.
This is Ruby the African Gray. What? On display at the Norcutts Garden Center. Wait. Garden Center in Ashton, Greater Manchester, because I got to explain what it is. Okay? It is a foul-mouthed parrot who started cursing at customers. So they had to remove the parrot from exhibition. Because the look on your face is really what did it for me. I said, Ruby the African Gray, and you about fell out your chair. Like, what the hell is he talking about? I'm like, wait for it. There's a punchline to this. So on display as part of this Garden Center.
You gotta be careful around them African grays, man.
But that's what they said.
It can all go
somewhere along the way.
It can all go wrong. You better get some
Jeff African gray parrot decided that it picked up, right, as they want to. The brain works. They picked up some words and would indiscriminately just start cursing at people. So it had to be removed from the shop floor because it kept swearing at people. No, the look on your face as I introduced it made for the pause. I wish I had video
take
of that because that
break.
Was fantastic.
Please take
but
us
think
the
about
break.
That.
Take us to break. Please.
Why? You're too busy laughing. I just broke you.
The African gray.
Ruby the African gray parrot has picked up some naughty words and decided to say them repeatedly. We offer our apologies if this cough causes
we
offense.
We apologize.
Also, please don't put your fingers
we
around
apologize.
Your Jesse Bake bite. We go into kryptonite and what it means to sports next.